Welcome back, friends, to another episode of the Amber May Show. So glad you were joining me today because I have Jeff Dornick of the Jeff Dornick Show joining us. We talk about a lot of topics. We're talking about what's happening in Israel. We talk about a little bit about what's happening in Washington. We talk about AI. There's like a whole bunch of topics that we cover on today's show. So I hope you will like, share, and subscribe. If you believe in what I'm doing, please consider becoming an angel investor. And the easiest way to do that is going to theambermayshow.com. Click the donate button and donate whatever you feel you can donate. $100, $10, $5, whatever you want to donate. Or you can be a $5 monthly subscriber by going to theambermayshow.locals.com. theambermayshow.locals.com. I'm always adding more stuff online, so join me on Telegram at The Amber May Show. I'm on True Social Amber May, Frank Social Amber May, and Clout Hub, so join me there. Okay, if you're looking for beautiful art, like gorgeous art, go and check out thecommandersartist.com. When you're at thecommandersartist.com and you use promo code Amber, you're going to save some money. He has really beautiful patriotic art. It's getting time for the holidays. This might be the perfect gift for someone special in your life. So go to thecommandersartist.com. Use promo code Amber at checkout. Well, without further ado, I'd love to introduce to you Jeff Dornick. I have my friend Jeff Dornick coming back on the program today, so I'm really excited about today's show. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me back on. Been looking forward to chatting again.
Yeah, I'm excited. You know, I just got back from a hunting trip, and my first one ever. I wasn't personally drawn, but my daughter was. What an adventure that was. Something I've never done, out of my norm. And what I want to say is, like, I'm very lucky because we did things that quasi-dangerous. I mean, not super dangerous, but like, we're out in the middle of a remote area and like their cell phone signals, my husband's cell phone signal didn't work. His best friend came up for a day. And I'm so grateful my Patriot Mobile cell phone signal worked because we had to climb these mountains that had totally rocky mountains, no path carved out except here and there, you know, the cows maneuver through, kind of clearing out the brush a little bit, thorns, everything. And I mean, it was kind of dangerous. I mean, at any point in time, you could break an ankle, break a leg. And I was so grateful. I didn't have my cell phone on very much because I want to enjoy nature, be with family. But at the same time, I was so comforted to know my Patriot Mobile cell phone signal was working just in case we had an emergency. Have you ever been in a situation like that where you're like, thank God, at least we have a way to communicate?
Oh, yeah. You know, I grew up going to Yellowstone, and I've never been hunting, but we would always go fishing out there. And now out there, you're dealing with like wild animals getting way super close to you because they're comfortable with people, unfortunately. But you could be walking down the path and you come across a buffalo. You could be coming across, you know, a bear, or, you know, we would have like wolves actually running through our campsite. And so it's one of those things that's like, yeah, it's a little freaky when you don't have access to, you know, contact somebody if you need it.
All I got to say is if anyone wants to get a Christian conservative cell phone, that's the one to get. You'll have signal. And if you use my name, Amber, you're going to get free activation. So patriotmobile.com/Amber, free activation, because we saw coyotes there. I think there was a bear in the area. I'm just grateful. At least we had one way to communicate should something happen. So patriotmobile.com/Amber. So Jeff, so much has happened in the world in the last week or so since I've been hunting. I would come back from camp, thank God I had like one bar of signal, two bars of signal, because I wanted to get caught up on what's happening in the world, because people were saying, I don't know if you're going to Israel, because that's what I'm planning to do. I don't know if you're going to go to Israel this summer. All this stuff is happening. And so what I wanted to show, if it's okay with you, I wanted to show some video of what we're seeing. And get your take on that, especially as it relates to what's going on here in the United States. Let me see. It's Harris. Yeah. Okay. Here's the one. because I want to get your thoughts on what do you think about this. I want to show some video. Some of this is... Wow. What are your thoughts on when you see that kind of stuff? What are your thoughts even on the whole Hamas thing going forward, especially as it relates to America as Israel being an ally?
I mean, it's horrific. It's also one of those things that's also somewhat predictable. Obviously, we didn't know when things like this would happen, but we knew that this would happen at some point because Hamas absolutely hates Israel altogether. And especially when you look at the ties between Hamas and Iran, and they're both chanting death to Israel, death mm-hmm. to America. Like, you know, the difference between, and I think it seems like a lot of Democrats are trying to make a correlation between what's happening with Russia and Ukraine, what's happening between Hamas and Israel, and trying to paint conservatives out as a bunch of hypocrites and all that kind of stuff. But the reality of it is, like, there's a difference between a land dispute, which is really what Russia and Ukraine is really over about. It's a land dispute. And if anything else, it's also a retaliation against the United States and NATO for infringing across the borders and setting up military bases and missile silos and all that kind of stuff up close to the Russian border, which violated our agreement with Russia going back 20, 30 years. And so we actually violated that, and that then inspired all of that. There's a difference between a tactical and land dispute, like what's happening with Russia and Ukraine, versus a people that want to see another set of people eradicated. That is the equivalent of Nazi Germany. So when we're talking about who are we going to support, who are we going to back, I don't want to get involved in a land dispute. What I mm-hmm. do want to get involved is protecting people that literally another group of people want to completely eradicate off the face of the earth. And that's mm-hmm. what you're dealing with when you're dealing with Israel. Israel is the only nation in the Middle East that actually has freedom, that actually has free elections, fair mm-hmm. elections. They're the only one that allows multicultural group of people, multiple religions. It doesn't matter if you're Jewish, Muslim, Christian, whatever it is, mm-hmm. you're allowed to participate in mm-hmm. society, in culture, in government, in all of that. The concern that we have when we have groups like the United Nations and a lot of the Democrats that are so opposed to Israel and always pro-Palestine, historically, they've always been pro-Hamas. Like, if you go back a few years and you look at a lot of the Democrat statements, they're almost always backing Hamas and opposing Israel. And all of a sudden now they're trying to act like, oh yeah, we're all team Israel. We've got your back. It's like, no, something's going on. You're not being completely honest. But when you look at the global geopolitical angles to all of this as well, and we've been seeing this for the last several years since Joe Biden, you know, allegedly became president, and he came in and he starts, you know, kind of poking the bear with Russia and all of that. We started seeing Russia and China and Iran creating alliances. Now look at what's happening in the world mm-hmm. today. You've got Russia invading Ukraine. Mm-hmm. Now you've got Hamas attacking Israel, and mm-hmm. you've got China and Taiwan. It's like they're coordinating this because this is all happening simultaneously, mm-hmm. and it's almost as if we have a new axis of evil. But here's the one thing I want to say about that. Yes, that alignment is an axis of evil, but I don't necessarily think that we're the good guys as a United States government. Like mm-hmm. we're continually poking the bear. We're manipulating, you know, other countries. We're overthrowing other governments. We're getting involved in wars that we shouldn't be involved in. And so, to a certain degree, you know, it's going to be a war between all these bad governments that all are just in all reality a part of the military industrial complex, and then we're just all along for the ride. It's all out of our hands to a certain degree. All we can do is try to raise some awareness, and hopefully some people in Congress and Senate will try to get this under control.
Don't I remember that Joe Biden sent Iran some money recently?
So they kind of. So what they did is Iran had $6 billion from oil that they had sold, and it was actually sitting in a bank account in another country, and we had frozen that as kind of some of our sanctions against them. We had lifted that under the guise that you know, you can use this for humanitarian purposes, food, medicine, shelter, things like that for your people. The reality of it is like whenever you look at all of these third world countries and Middle East countries and we send money to, it's always under the guise of humanitarian aid. It never goes to the people. It always goes to these governments, and oftentimes will actually go to funding terrorism. So like, you've got a lot of Democrats that are like, oh no, you know, that money wasn't for anything outside of humanitarian aid. It's like, so what, you're gonna trust a dictator that believes it's okay to murder millions of his own people? You're gonna trust that he's gonna use that to feed those people that he's been wiping out and committing genocide against? Yeah, okay, we're just gonna trust that.
Well, here's what the Western Journal also said, and I'd like to get your take on this. Let's see, where is it? Here it is. So the headline was, U.S. weapons left behind in Afghanistan may have been among deadly tools Hamas used on civilians. I'd love to get your take on that, because, I mean, this article goes into how much, see, if freeing up $6 billion of Iranian money, making it easier for them to divert other funds to terrorist organization wasn't enough, it appears that the Biden administration's disastrous foreign policy decision may be supplementing ammunition to terrorists like Hamas, because Newsweek was just talking about how Israel's expressed concerns about the outlets about these weapons that were left behind. And it goes in, this article goes into how much ammunition they actually got, like MK4s, M16s. They had weapons that they never ever had before. They had, let's see, night vision surveillance, biometric positioning equipment were left behind, pieces of explosive detection, electronic countermeasures disposal left behind, personal protective equipment. I mean, this article goes on and on about how much was left behind that they didn't have, weapons that they didn't have before. So what are your thoughts on that? Article?
I think, you know, we should be blaming the Biden administration for that awful Afghanistan pullout. Like that's one of those things where, I felt like that was one of his first main impeachable offenses. When I saw that happening, I felt like, articles of impeachment should have been drawn up right then and there, and I was disappointed that they weren't. But the one thing that I do say, and it's not really in defense of the Biden administration, because I will never actually defend them, but when you look at what's happening in all these countries, you look at what our intelligence agencies are doing. They've been doing these kinds of things for decades and decades and decades. I mean, just go back and look at, you know, under the Obama administration, they did Operation Fast and Furious, where they were funneling guns to the cartels. And then all of a sudden we're finding out the cartels are using those guns that we gave to them and we funneled to them back on our own people. And it shows the ramifications of getting involved and participating in interventions in all these different areas that we shouldn't be involved in. And it's interesting because, you know, when you're in healthcare, and I'm somebody that strongly opposes big pharma, somebody that strongly opposes really the standard healthcare system in this country. Like, the vast majority of medical doctors are doing things completely wrong. Everything needs an intervention. And one of the things that you learn is that every time you have an intervention, the intended consequence is something positive. But almost always, every single time that we do something that's unnatural, like putting a chemical in your body or a pharmaceutical drug or using a device or whatever it is, there's always something negative that will almost always go along with that. And then you kind of have to weigh the risks. There's going to be some positive. Will the negative outweigh the positive and all that kind of stuff? And there's a line from an old TV show, but from a TV show that was on ABC back before Disney went insanely woke. But it was called Once Upon a Time, and Rumpelstiltskin was the character. And that this is the line that he would always say: magic always comes with a price. And I think that the same can be said about all of these interventions that we have in other governments, whether you're dealing with the Mexican cartels, whether you're dealing with the Middle East, no matter what it is that you're dealing with, the more that we're getting involved with all these other places where we should not be, we can say, look, we're trying to bring democracy, we're trying to bring freedom, we're trying to do all of these kinds of things. But what's the price? There's always a price. We can't pretend like there's not going to be negative ramifications. And the more that we get involved, I would argue that the negative ramifications outweigh any intended positive ramifications that you can get from any of these. And I think that that's really what's happening here. Is like, we never should have been in Afghanistan in the first place. And then you have Joe Biden pull out in a horrific manner and then leave all of our weapons there. And then all of a sudden, now we're arming our enemies against us. This is the price that you pay for military intervention in the Middle East. This is the problem. And it goes back again. Magic has a price. Like Rumpelstiltskin said in Once Upon a Time, like, intervention in the Middle East has a price. And we're witnessing a play out right now.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second. But right now, I'm going to take a quick break. Hey, so when you are a guest at the Anne Ramey's house, you get luxury. And how you get luxury is I have this sleeping couch, this sleeper sofa, and you're telling me that's not luxury. It is when you put a MyPillow mattress topper on it. All my guests that have come over and stayed at my house have really enjoyed this sleeper sofa, which says a lot because they're getting to sleep on the MyPillow pillows. And you get the MyPillow mattress topper. And then it doesn't stop there with the luxury, because when you shower at the Anne Ramey Show's house, you get to have a MyPillow towel. I don't have the kids using it. I just let the adults have the luxury. So the adults get to use the MyPillow and they're phenomenal. And right now there's a massive sale going on with the MyPillow towels. So you should really put luxury into your home and live it every day like Anne Ramey does every day. So I have a MyPillow mattress topper on my bed. I use the MyPillow sheets, the MyPillow towels, the MyPillow slippers. I live luxury and I don't have to pay the luxury price because MyPillow has promo code. So use my name, Amber, and save up to 66% off, and you can live luxurious as well.
Hey there, I'm Darren.
And I'm Randy.
We're from Patriots with Grit, and you're watching The Anne Ramey Show.
Check it out.
Hey friends, I want to tell you what I recently did. I broke away from the big three. I was tired of the woke mogul, and I wanted to go to a Christian conservative company that I could trust that support the organizations that I value, and that is Patriot Mobile. So when you go to patriotmobile.com/Amber, you are going to get free activation. It is super easy to get started to switch from the big three to Patriot Mobile. They'll walk you step by step. It is not difficult at all. And I've had tremendous service since I made the switch. So I recommend, if you want to vote with your wallet and support a company that supports your values, go to patriotmobile.com/Amber and save on a free activation. So that's patriotmobile.com/Amber. Now the links are in the description below or on my website at theannermayshow.com/promo. So check that out. So it's time to vote with our wallet, ditch the woke mobile, and go to a Christian conservative mobile. And that is patriotmobile.com/Amber. You are listening to The Anne Ramey Show, and now we return to the show already in progress. Well, what I've come to realize, and, you know, I never saw it before. Well, I started questioning things like, why are we always in war? Like, why can't we ever be in a time of peace? And you come to find out, and President Eisenhower warned us about that years ago, decades ago, when under his presidency and the military-industrial complex, there were people getting paid a lot of money to keep us in war. When we don't need to, we're sacrificing our moms and our dads and our brothers and our sisters and our friends for someone else to get very wealthy. Because you're right, we don't have business. We don't need to be in all these places all the time. It had nothing to do with our concerns. We don't need to be getting involved in everybody's entanglements. And so you realize now, oh, wow, they just want more money. And then we find out with Ukraine about the money laundering operation. So a lot of this military industrial complex is getting paid. Money laundering is happening in these countries. So the money goes back to these politicians' pockets or political parties' pockets, and their coffers get bigger. They take the U.S. money. We give it to these countries, and then they funnel it back into their own pockets. Everyone gets to pay a piece of the pie. That's why it keeps going and keeps going and keeps going. I think that's one of the reasons why Biden is so for the Ukraine, because I'm sure, I mean, we know he's getting payouts from that because of his son. You know, we already know that. So, of course, he wants the money to keep flowing. You know, McCarthy, you talked about the impeachment. Why McCarthy just did an inquiry? Why not flat out put an impeachment? There was plenty of things out there. I'm hoping the Newspeak will just flat out go with the impeachment. Forget this impeachment inquiry. We just need an impeachment. Like you said, there's been a ton of things that he's already done. Before we move on, I want to talk about the border issue, and I also want to get your stance on the speakership. But what happened in Israel, those scenes that we just saw in Israel and Palestine, we have an open border situation where thousands upon thousands of terrorists have come through our country. And you know what they're really good on? They're really good at patience, like super good at patience. They're good at waiting things out. And what my fear is, those scenes that I just showed you a few minutes ago, my fear is that's going to happen right here in the United States, because our government's complicit in allowing terrorists, known terrorists, and they won't even designate the cartel as terrorists, and they should have, and they won't do that. I mean, it's really disgusting. Their primary job at the federal level is protection of the United States of America.
Yeah.
And they're utterly failing it. So I'd like to get your take on that. And then I want to talk about speakership really quick. And then I want to get into some AI stuff with you.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think it's one of those things where we know that the extreme Islamists have already infiltrated the FBI. That's been well documented, going all the way back to the Obama administration, and even to a certain degree within the Bush administration, is that the FBI has been infiltrated. And actually a lot of the leaders, there's been documentation that a lot of our FBI leaders have actually converted to Islam. And so that's one of those concerns that we have, is that, okay, so if you're talking about Islamic terrorism, again, it sounds like we're back in 2001 to a certain degree with the potential of stuff that we're facing right now. But I think it's so important that we understand that our government has been co-opted. Obviously, we've been co-opted by the Chinese. We've been co-opted mm-hmm. by the Russians. We've been co-opted also by the extreme Islamists. And I think that's something that we have to be aware of. And that's not to say that every single person who's a Muslim is a bad person and that shouldn't be here, and you know, all that kind of stuff. But there's a difference between somebody who's here in the United States who happens to be Muslim versus somebody who's an extreme Islamist. Correct. And I think that we have to be able to differentiate between those two. But also it's like, everybody knows they can just funnel their people right through the border. I mean, mm-hmm. like quite literally everybody knows if you want to get an enemy here, you just send them down to the southern border, and they'll walk across the border with all the rest of the illegal immigrants. And then they come across, and then they go, they find the sleeper cells, and they hang out for a while until they're activated. And then they go and they shoot somebody up or explode something or whatever it is. You know, I mean, even the Chinese know that mm-hmm. it's open border. I mean, how many Chinese
are coming over? Yeah,
exactly. It's wild when you start actually looking at that, and that we are not actually doing anything about that. So at a certain point, I think the question becomes, when is enough enough for us as we the people? Because I think oftentimes we talk about this all the time, illegal immigration. How many decades have we been debating illegal immigration on a political level, and jack squat gets done? Correct. At what point is enough enough, and we're going to demand that our leaders deal with this thing? Or, like, you know, and this is one of the things that I'll say, it's more of a tactical, you know, standpoint. What would happen if we had another Tea Party movement, right? You band together, let's just say 3% of Republican voters. You band them together. This is the same strategy that Matt Gaetz used in Congress with Speaker McCarthy. What if we band together 3% of Republican voters, and we're like, look, we've got demands. We're going to go to the Republican leadership, mm-hmm. shut down the border. Mm-hmm. You need to deal with getting us out of wars. You need to deal with election fraud, and you deal with, let's say, one other thing, right? Deal with inflation. Okay. Stop printing money. Lower taxes. Whatever it is, right? You go to them with your demands and say, look, if you don't deal with this and deal with this seriously, we're walking. We're going independent. You realize 3% of the vote would lose every single election practically in America for the Republican Party. You have power in being a minority. That's what Matt Gaetz showed us when he was dealing with Speaker McCarthy, was that he took 8 Republicans mm-hmm. and ousted the sitting Speaker of the House. We have that same power too, as we the people.
Yeah,
you don't need 51% of Republicans. No. You need 2%, and all of a sudden they're going to take you seriously. And you know, if you legitimately walk, they're going to lose every single election, and they're terrified of losing every single election.
Well, that's 100% true. I mean, just look at the homosexual community. I mean, they're a small minority, and yet they've made massive strides. If you look at the civil rights movement, it was a minority, and they made big moves. I mean, you're absolutely right with that. We just, a small group of people can often switch. And that's why we have to use the court of public opinion. That's the strongest court we have in the United States, because it is swaying. If you notice how we were like a few years ago and where we are today, things are shifting. And even in Europe, things are shifting. And there's an article out, I think by the Gateway Pundit, that are showing these other parties that haven't been in power in a long time outing the other parties. And I was like, this is good. I mean, what we're doing here in America and our podcast, I think is making a difference worldwide. And I'm hoping that we're diminishing the power of the globalists worldwide, because you know what they're trying to do is turn us into a third world country. They don't want us to have power. They want us to go all solar and wind. I'm sorry. I'm not against like good energy, but it's not there to the level of coal and nuclear power plants. And so if they want to take us all to these green energies, then they're going to take us from a first world country to a third world country. They want us to move away from gasoline powered cars. They're doing everything they can to destroy that. Why? So we don't have transportation. It goes with the 15-minute cities, which we're going to talk about with your AI stuff. But I think the speakership thing was great. I don't know what Newt Gingrich was talking about and how he was against it. I think that was great. We're not getting anything done with Speaker McCarthy. Frankly, I didn't want him to begin with. I can't believe he even made speakership. And maybe if we get a new speaker, things will actually get done, because McCarthy had all of the leverage. And then he just gave it to Biden. Just like that. I'm like, wow, if it was the other side. This is why it's the uniparty. They're all on the same side. They don't care. They just pretend like they're Republicans for decades. You know, because it's a uniparty, they keep everything copacetic, so it looks like we have a two-party system. And then when the Democrats take over, they do their agenda just so it looks like it's us versus them. But it's a one-party system. And that was so evident to me with the John McCain thing that happened in Arizona recently, where all these Democrats are praising Republican John McCain, a senator from Arizona, all these years. He was a swampy swamp guy. He was totally for the other side. And that's why the Democrats were praising him. Like, come on. It's a big show. It's a big opera. Soap opera. It's just a big show. So what are your thoughts on the whole Speaker McCarthy getting a new speaker? You think it's good? You think it's bad? What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's good. It's basically made Matt Gaetz the most powerful congressman in Congress, because he's actually using political leverage in a way that other people don't. And they're trying to kick him out and do all that kind of stuff. But in all reality, he played specifically within the rules.
Yes,
he and did. And that this is really those checks and balances that the founding fathers established for this country is that, you know, they didn't, if they just wanted a majority rule, they would have made us a straight democracy, and they didn't. They made us a constitutional republic, so that way there's checks and balances, and it gives a voice to the minority, and it gives you political leverage as the minority in order to challenge the status quo and challenge the elites. And that's really what happened with McCarthy. McCarthy went back on his word. He flat out lied. He did not hold up to his deal of the agreement. There needs to be consequences. Why do you think so many Americans are sick and tired of elected officials and politicians? It's because they campaign as principled constitutional conservatives like John McCain would. And I grew up in Arizona. I remember dealing with John McCain. He would always campaign as a constitutional conservative, and then he'd go and legislate as a uniparty swamp creature. Mm-hmm. And that's the reality. Everybody was sick of it, but he had so much money, nobody could actually challenge the guy. And that's the problem with politics. And so finally, we've got a guy in Matt Gaetz that's willing to challenge the status quo, that's willing to say, enough is enough. You went back on your word. You're going to be held accountable. That's what we need to be doing. That don't just sit back and say, be a spectator like Matt Gaetz. Good job. You've got our back. No, this is your individual strategy. If your local elected official is going back on their word and is not doing what he's supposed to be doing what she's supposed to be doing, get rid of them. You have the power to do so. Figure out the political leverage that you need in order to either oust them or warn them that, look, if you do this, I'm in the process of right now of gaining a huge group of people. And if you don't deal with this right now, we're walking. We're going to go independent, or we're just not going to vote in this time, and you're going to lose the next election. do something. That's what Matt Gaetz did, and that's what we need to do. And in all reality, moving forward for the new speaker, I think the new speaker is going to be accountable to guess who? Matt Gaetz and those eight people. If they go back on their word again,
oh yeah,
let's have a repeat of McCarthy.
Exactly. You know what I'm liking is the swamp is slowly, like, we're getting rid of some of these establishment people. I cannot remember the man's name from Utah, the senator from Utah who ran for president. I don't
Romney.
Know why. Yes. He's leaving. McCarthy's leaving. Pelosi's gone. I mean, all these swampies. And then the lady who just died in California.
Diane Feinstein. Yeah.
Yeah, Feinstein. I mean, my brain is like gone. Like, all the names are gone out of my head. Yes. I mean, this is so amazing. Once you start showing the light and the truth, it expels the darkness and the cockroaches want to flee. The cockroaches like to stay while it's dark, but as soon as you start shining a flashlight, and then that flashlight gets bigger, and then suddenly you have a full room full of light. I mean, they scatter. They don't want to be in the spotlight. They don't want their sins to be shown. And this is amazing. I think we're living in such an amazing time where people are finally waking up and realizing, wow, we have been controlled by people who are getting a lot of money. Come on. Biden has been a senator for almost his entire life. You want to tell me on a senator's salary, he made millions of dollars? Yes, I know there's book deals and I know there's speakership, but really, I mean, are you really going to get that rich on a senator's salary, going to a vice president's salary for a little bit? Come on. All of these people are getting paid by someone. All of these people. You don't go to Congress. You go to Congress to get rich because people are going to pay you off so that they can control you and your little seat of power.
Yeah. Well, and also, too, that, you know, basically the political system right now is just one major grift. And that's something that I think we're going to have to deal with. And not just from the elected officials. Everybody's always asking, why are so many candidates running for president right now? It's because think about this. Most people don't realize this. If you're running for office, I don't care if you're running for president, Congress, Senate, you know, governor, whatever it is, you are legally allowed to pay yourself a salary equivalent to that of the office you are running for out of campaign donations. So if you run for president, you can pay yourself $400,000 a year, knowing full well you're not going to get more than 0.1% of the vote. But if you can raise enough money, you can pay yourself $400,000 a year, you know, pay out of your campaign expenses, all of your travel expenses, all of your food, all of your campaign events and all that kind of stuff. And guess it's free money. Everybody's always like, why are all these guys running? Why is Larry Elder running? Why is this guy running? Why is that guy running? Well, it's because they're paying themselves a salary. I know multiple people right now, and I can't stand them, where they run for Congress, they get 2% of the vote, and then they announce the next day, I'm running for Congress again. Yeah, because they're grifting. They're paying themselves a couple $100,000 a year to run for an office. They know that they can't win. It's basically just free money. The whole entire political system is a grift. And that's where, again, we need to take this seriously as we the people, and we need to either decide, are we going to run for office ourselves and do things the right way? And then also vet the people that we're going to be supporting and giving money to, and make sure that they're not just grifting as well. Like, are they legit? Are they in this? Are they the real deal? Or are they just paying themselves a cushy little salary, doing a couple of campaign events, calling it a day?
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break. So I wanted to introduce you to a company that makes really healthy personal care products, and that is Hero Soap Company. I love Hero Soap Company. This is my favorite scent. It's called The Meadow. It smells amazing. Oh, so nice and clean. It smells so good. You're getting healthy products, because did you know in the personal care products, they put a lot of garbage in there that disrupts the hormones and other things? Well, this is all clean products. You're supporting a company that's American-made product. It's co-owned by a veteran. And what I love about this company is they also support veterans and first responders with purchases of their soaps. So if you go to herosoapcompany.com, use promo code AmberMay at checkout, you're going to save yourself some money. So we're supporting a patriot-owned, veteran-owned, American-made soap company right here. We're supporting them. You're getting a discount, and you're getting healthy, clean products to use on your body at home. So here is soapcompany.com, promo code AmberMay at checkout.
Jeremiah. Hi, I'm Dr. Artis, and you're watching me live on the Amber May Show. Stay tuned.
Are you looking for a doctor you can trust? Then look no farther than Dr. Meehan, and you can find him at MeehanMD.com. That's M-E-E-H-A-N as in Nancy, MD.com for all your healthcare supplemental and telemed needs. And you know what my family did? We shopped at his supplemental store and we purchased these two items to help support our gut health. These are supporting our gut health because you know what? The gut health is so important. Our immune system is in the gut. Our serotonin's made in the gut. And so the most Americans, if you know, have a leaky gut. So if you're looking to improve your health, whether you're improving your gut health or your immune system, or you just have something that you need to talk to a physician about, go to MeehanMD.com. That's M-E-E-H-A-N as in Nancy, MD.com. And while you're there, make sure you use the promo code AMBER so you can save some money. And while you're at the website, make sure you set up your telemed appointment and then check out all his supplements that he offers as well. That's MeehanMD.com. Use promo code AMBER at checkout. You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
That's a good point. And, you know, speaking of the presidential campaign, I'm not watching the debates because all of those men are establishment. Even Ramaswamy, he sounds great. He has all the talking points, but you go back in his history, he's total establishment, total globalist, gone. Nope. All those men running for office, I want nothing to do with them. I don't really care what they have to say because it's all lies. On the AI front, let's talk about that. What is happening? What's the latest with AI?
So my thing with AI, and I've been trying to kind of sound the alarm a bit, is that a lot of people are, you know, giving kudos to Elon Musk over there on X for, you know, defending free speech and letting people all have their platforms back and all that. And I keep saying, if you think that Elon Musk dropped $44 billion and was able to get a loan in order to do that, if you think that he did that in order to defend free speech, you've got another thing coming. What he's actually doing is he actually bought that in order to develop his artificial intelligence that he's building. It's called XAI. And what they're saying is that when they transition to X, they are turning X into this, what they're calling an everything app, that's going to be fueled by artificial intelligence. So what does that have to do with us? Why does he free speech? Why is he inviting all these, you know, controversial right wingers like myself back on Twitter? Well, it's because he wants all of our data. So what they do is they have this policy. It's called freedom of speech, but not necessarily freedom of reach, which means you can say whatever you want, but they don't necessarily have to let people see it. Is that actually free speech? It's like if a tree falls in the middle of the woods and nobody's there to hear it, did it actually make a sound? Or, you know, there's another example that I'll oftentimes say is like, let's say Elon Musk, he goes to Times Square in the middle of New York, sets up a stage with a microphone, speakers, the whole deal. We're gonna have a free speech event. You can get up there, you can say whatever you want. And then all of a sudden you get up there, you start talking about election fraud, and he cuts off the microphone. And
he turns the volume really low.
Right. Yeah. Turns the volume really low. Let's just say turns it off altogether. And you're like, hey, what's going on? I thought this was free speech. He's like, you can say whatever you want from stage, but I don't have to let anybody hear it. Correct. Is that actually free speech?
No.
So why is he allowing all of us to be on the platform saying things that he won't let people hear? It's because he's funneling all that information and all that data and all the articles that we're sharing and everything into the artificial intelligence. Because if you look at OpenAI and ChatGPT and all of that, that's basically just aggregating information from across the internet, funneling it together, and then spitting it out in a way that we can read, that we can comprehend. It's basically plagiarizing everything on the internet. It's not coming up with anything new. It's just taking information that other people have already written, combining it all together, and spitting it out for us, in a way that we can comprehend. But that's only relevant up to 2021. ChatGPT is only relevant up to 2021.
True.
Then you get to XAI. What he's trying to do is he's trying to use all of our data to make it the most relevant, up-to-date artificial intelligence on the planet, because everything will be in real time, because we're posting on Twitter, on X, in real time, all the news articles, all the research, all of our posts, all of our opinions, all of our ideas will be funneled into the artificial intelligence. Then it'll be the most relevant. It'll be able to manipulate you the best, because it's going to know exactly what you're talking about right now. And then what's it going to be used for? Is it going to be used to manipulate you with advertising? Is it going to be used to manipulate you for political elections? Is it going to be used to manipulate you in any sort of way? Of course it is. Now, I haven't even gotten to the scary part yet, which is Elon Musk also has Neuralink that's FDA approved. Now with Neuralink, they have the ability to erase memories and replace them with new ones, which means they have ultimate control over anybody who has this, and you will never know. So you will never know whether your memories are real or not. Think about that one for a second, which means they could erase, let's say 40% of Americans get the Neuralink implant. They could erase all their memories of Donald Trump ever being president. Mm-hmm. Think about the chaos that will ensue with that. Think about the power that they'll have with that. Then on top of that, they're going to entice everybody, because guess what? They're going to connect Neuralink to the internet, which means your brain automatically connects to the internet, which means you no longer have to sit on the computer thinking, okay, so who was the president in 2006? Type. No, you just think it, and it immediately goes into your head, right? It's going to make a bunch of really smart, dumb people, people that don't actually have to learn anything, but you have access to all this information, right? Mm-hmm. But there's also the artificial intelligence side of things as well, where the XAI is going to be linked up with Neuralink, which is linked up to the internet. And now what's going to happen? Now you're going to have artificial intelligence that ultimately has the power to erase your memories and replace them with new ones. It has the ability to manipulate you, has the ability to control you. This mm-hmm. is what Yuval Noah Harari was talking
yes.
about. He was talking about being able to control you from within. There's also a great band for anybody who's into all this kind of stuff. It's called Muse. Have you heard of Muse?
I've heard of Muse, yes.
Okay. Go read their lyrics. Go listen to their music. They've been predicting this stuff for years in their albums, right? They've got one album that came out probably 5 or 6 years ago called Drones. And literally the cover of the album is a bunch of people with like computer screens as heads marching. And then this one centralized guy with a joystick controlling all the drones. It's wild, the kind of stuff that they've been talking about in their music. But the thing is, we've got to understand, yes, AI can be used for positive. In my opinion, it's a great search engine, right? But do not use it to replace your creativity, to replace your ideas and your thoughts. Don't just say, hey, write me an article about Donald Trump, and then have it spit mm-hmm. out an article, and then you post it. I don't want to hear what a robot says. Mm-hmm. I want to hear what you think. I want to hear your investigations, your ideas, your thoughts. And we're getting to the point to where AI is going to have complete control over our minds. And what's going to happen is that it's going to get to a certain point. It's going to kind of max out. And then all of a sudden, they're going to, once they can fully accomplish quantum computing, which I can get into if you want. But
yeah.
Once we get that and they combine that with AI, it's game over, because now all of a sudden AI is self-learning.
And the CBDC is all tied with that. I mean, you're not wrong in what you're saying, because Yuval Noah Harari talks about also that we don't need God for salvation, because we can live eternally. Because they're thinking we can upload all of our thoughts and our memories, and then they can put like an artificial person with our thoughts and our memories and make it sound like we can live forever. I mean, I don't know really how they think, because once you're dead, even if you upload all your thoughts and memories and then you implant it in some artificial life form, it's not like you're living anymore. Those are your past memories. You can't create new memories. So I don't know, but Yuval Noah Harari and the globalists, all those people at the World Economic Forum, they believe this to be true, that you don't need God. You don't need salvation, because you can live eternally through artificial intelligence. I mean, these people tell you what they think. They don't hide it. You just have to go look and listen to them speak. They're not hiding anything. So their idea is, you're right, it's a tool. AI is a tool in the wrong hands, like any tool, just like what we talked about earlier with weapons, with the wrong people, become very deadly. It's horrible. A gun in and of itself isn't bad. It's a tool. It's how you use the tool that makes it good or bad. It's an inanimate object. So just like AI, it's an inanimate object. Whoever has control of that tool could do it for good, for bad. But it's just a tool at the end of the day. Unfortunately, the people at the very top, the globalists that are creating all this technology, aren't on our side. So that being said, that tool right now could be used for, like, I keep thinking about the Terminator, right? Every time I hear about AI, Terminator and Skynet, and like, I'm like, they tell us in the movies, people, they already tell us, just like you were saying about Muse, they tell us.
Well, think about it. There was a movie that so my wife and I we've just been going back through a lot of those action movies. So we just finished going through Terminator. I've never watched it before, and so it was definitely eye opening, right? So we watched that. We've watched Mission Impossible movies and 007 and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And they're telling you exactly what's going on. Mm-hmm. There's a movie in the Fast and Furious series, Hobbs and Shaw. Have you seen that one?
Yes.
Came out in 2019, right before COVID came out, talking about a virus. Okay. Yes. A worldwide virus that was going to spread around, depopulate the earth, that was developed in a Ukrainian lab.
Mm-hmm.
And the main villain, bad guy, was a full on Terminator, transhumanist, artificial intelligence, whatever it is. It's like they're telling us exactly what's going on. It's wild. And another thing to also look at is the same thing can be said about the Marvel movies. What they're conditioning within the Marvel movies right now is in this current phase, they're talking about the quantum realm a lot. And I'll kind of tie this back in with the quantum computing. Mm-hmm. Within the quantum realm, what the way that they're portraying it is that you can open up portals to access other dimensions. Essentially, if I'm just putting it in layman's terms, it's opening up a portal to be able to communicate and interact with otherworldly beings. Mm-hmm. As Christians, we know, okay, you're talking about demonic mm-hmm. forces. You're talking about fallen angels. You're talking about demons, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all that to say, you look at CERN, what are they trying to do? They're trying to open up a portal.
Yes.
You look at what they've already accomplished at Area 51. They've already opened up a portal there. That's already happened. There's documentation about that. So when you're looking at it, you see what they're doing. Now, why is Marvel talking about the quantum realm, opening up portals to talk to otherworldly beings? Well, because they're conditioning us for the coming quantum computing, because mm-hmm. that's exactly what that's going to be doing. Now, when you look at standard computing, it's all done in zeros and ones, and whatever mm-hmm. combination of zeros and ones that you put together will show up on your screen or in your computer program or, you know, whatever it is. And that's actually done and developed on like a hard drive, like this piece of metal that they're actually programming this all into. Well, quantum computing is actually, they're doing that at the subatomic level, which makes sense when you look at the Marvel movies. Look at Ant-Man. What is Ant-Man doing? He's going into the quantum realm. He's shrinking down into the subatomic level. They talk mm-hmm. about this in the movies, right? Well, when you look at what quantum computing is actually doing, they're doing computing at the subatomic levels, and they're actually doing it on living things. So they said a plant can be a quantum computer. A human being could be a quantum computer. An animal could be a quantum computer, because you all have atoms and they can develop on the subatomic level. Now here's the crazy thing. Look at what was in the COVID jabs. One of the ingredients that everybody talked about was graphene.
Mm-hmm.
What is graphene used for? Graphene molds together with single molecule magnets to create the basis of the memory for quantum computing. So when they're injecting graphene into your shoulder, everybody's like, oh no, they're using it as like a weapon, or it's going into your bloodstream and it's killing people. No, what they're doing is they're turning you into a quantum computer, because they're able to, they're using your muscle tissue in order to use that as the memory for the coming quantum computer that they're building inside of you. This is transhumanism 101 if you just look at the very basics of it. Now, when you're looking, again, I talked about earlier, quantum computing, quantum realm within the Marvel movies, opening up a portal, communication with the demonic world. If that's what they're doing with the quantum computing, which I firmly believe that it is, especially when you look at the deep dive into how their software is developed and where their algorithms are coming from and all that kind of stuff. Think about this. If they're opening up a portal through quantum computing, now all of a sudden you combine quantum computing with artificial intelligence. You're not talking about artificial intelligence anymore. You're talking about demonic intelligence, and they're already setting up the framework within your own body for you to become a quantum computer with the COVID jabs, with the graphene that's in there. Now you're taking it to a whole new level. Now you have demonic intelligence that's going to be inside of people. Now you're having basically mass demonic possession through technology, which is basically a reincarnation of Genesis 6 when they had the Nephilim. That's when they combined the fallen angels with the human body, the angels with human biology. Now they're using technology in order to accomplish the same thing. It's wild when you actually take a look at this and you actually research this and do the deep dives like I've been doing as of late.
Well, Klaus Schwab says it when you do all this and you take the COVID shots and everything, it's changing you. because you're taking a genetic editing. You know, it's changing your genetic because it's a genetic editing tool. So, I mean, they don't hide it from you. I mean, it's not like you can't find this information because they flat out say it, especially Yuval. He goes around and saying it all the time, like all kinds of stuff. And even Elon Musk was saying that if you can change yourself into a freaking butterfly if you have the right programming. I'm just like, what the heck? I mean, and these people are revered and they have all this money, but yet they want to control us and be the little robots to tell us what we're doing. And they want us to connect our brains together. I'm sorry, but Jeff, I love you, but I don't want to know what you're thinking. And I'm sure you don't want to know what I'm thinking. You know what I mean? Like, I like my autonomy. I like to keep my thoughts to myself. I don't need to share them with everyone all the time.
Yeah. But also that has to do with this mentality of collectivism, of this mentality that you only have value as a part of the group. And so they're looking at it from a group standpoint. Like we as Christians, we believe that God created us in his image, and thus we as an individual have certain value, which stems back to our constitutional rights. Our constitutional rights are given to us by God himself. Correct. And we have these rights because we are, as an individual, are created in the image of God. Thus, as conservatives and as constitutionalists, we're giving each individual person value. The left is trying to take that away. What the left is trying to do is they're trying to make you feel like you have no value in and of yourself. Correct. You only have value as a part of the larger group. And that's what this whole collectivism thing is doing. And it's pushing us into this transhumanist thing, which is going to connect us all through the internet, connecting everybody, because what they're trying to do is they're trying to have a collective intelligence, which means really what they're trying to do is have collective control over everybody, so that way the centralized people right in the middle of, I don't know if you're talking bloodlines, if you're talking about whoever's actually calling the shots or whatever it might be, they're the ones that control the masses. No wonder they want to only get it down to 500 million people on the entire earth, because they only have to control 500 million people, because mm-hmm. they know not everybody's going to get this implanted into them or injected into mm-hmm. them or whatever it is. So that's the thing that we've got to understand about this whole entire thing. They are trying to take away everything that God gave us simply by being created in his own image. If they can eliminate God from the mix and get us to deny him and deny his very existence,
right.
Guess what? We no longer have value as individual people. We no longer have rights that were given to us by God. Thus, they control everybody.
Which also ties into the smart cities, because they will control everything about you. They're going to control what you can purchase, how far you can go, where you can travel. Again, they are attacking the oil. I don't know why, but well, I do know why. They don't need to be attacking the oil, but they want to attack the oil because right now we have freedom to travel. When you get into these smart cities, they don't want you to have cars. They only want you to have bicycles. And then if you leave these smart cities, you get penalized. It's already happening in London. Go look at the city of London. If you want to know what's happening, go look at London. Go look at China. It's happening in India. It's all over the United States. They're building them all over the United States. I think Maui was a big part of that with Lahaina. I mean, Lahaina was one of the cities, is one of the cities they are focusing on creating a smart city. So if you guys think these are all crazy, those people are insane, because they want to control everything you say, do. I have a resource page on the AmberMayShow.com under smart cities. Go check it out. See what's out there. There's like primary sources out there. There are videos out there. There's people what they're saying firsthand. So go check that out if you still cannot wrap your head around the control mechanism going on with the globus. But I have faith, because we're seeing a shift. And hopefully it all gets defeated. We don't end up being in prison in these 15-minute cities. The more the minority, you and I talk about it, then, you know, the more we win, I think. I really believe we're winning in this. It's sometimes hard to see it, but I think we are, especially with what happened just now in Washington, D.C., and some of the establishment people saying, I don't want to be in office anymore. Good. We don't want you in office. We want America First people in office. Get out.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Jeff, I want to thank you so much for being a part of our program today. I know you got to run. You got other places to go and shows to be on. So I want to thank you for spending time with me today.
No, of course. It was a blast talking to you. And I just want to leave everybody with this one thought. It's like you have power as long as you don't comply with the tyrannical globalist elites. And that's the thing. They only win if you comply. Correct. And I think that's the thing that we have to remember is just stop complying.
Yeah, we can say no. I mean, people only have power if we give them power. That's it.
That's for sure.
Well, thank you so much. We'll see you on another episode.
Sounds like a plan. Thank you.
Who masters the fourth industrial revolution? Because it is industrial superiority, innovative superiority. Just think of artificial intelligence, quantum computing, and so on, which actually provides power to a country. So what we will see is a race for leadership in the fourth industrial revolution.
And you see, the difference of this fourth industrial revolution is it doesn't change what you are doing. It changes you. If you take a genetic editing, just as an example, it's you who are changed. Yeah, and of course, this has a big impact on your identity.
And we will have in November a artificial intelligence. It will be our second meeting with all the experts on our campus in San Francisco. And I have to say, in my memory, you were one of the most engaged and hardest working participants here at the annual meeting. I watched you in the morning up to midnight sometimes, one engagement after the other one.
Dr. Schwab, I'm flattered you'd ask me to keynote. There's an expression in my old neighborhood back in the United States. This may be above my pay grade. It's not above yours, though. You've written extensively on the topic that you've asked me to speak to, mastering the fourth industrial revolution.
People have difficult to understand. And what we see is a certain fear of the future. I think it's the first time in global history that people are so pessimistic about the future. Now, my advice would be embrace change. Change will be a constant factor of our lives. And those people who see change as an opportunity and not as a threat will succeed. We do not yet know the full extent and the systemic and structural changes which will happen. However, we do know that global energy systems, food systems, and supply chains will be deeply affected. Earlier, technological inventions, they made our life easier. They influenced what we were doing. It created better communications, better transportation, and so on. But the new technological innovation, the fourth one, is changing to a large extent ourselves. It's a who is affected. Just think of, there's a countryman, and I have nearly a bad conscience to talk about those things in Israel, which is so far advanced. But if you look at the book of Professor Hariri, Homo Deus, you see, brain advancement and when you see what's happening in artificial intelligence and so on. So it's augmenting ourselves.
COVID makes it accelerates the process of digitalization and automatization. It legitimizes the deployment of mass surveillance, and it makes surveillance go under your skin.
If you walk into a room and there is a picture of Kim Jong-un on the wall and the bracelet picks up the signs of anger because it has access to your brain, that's very bad news for you. Even George Orwell's 1984, they couldn't really get into your brain. There was still this sphere of private world, and this is about to disappear. In the West, the main concern now is what is known as surveillance capitalism. That, okay, it's not a kind of dictator that spies on your brain, but you have all these corporations and maybe all these government agencies which are monitoring what's happening inside your body. What does it mean?
I mean, COVID makes it accelerates the process of digitalization and automatization. It legitimizes the deployment of mass surveillance, and it makes surveillance go under your skin.
Thank you for joining us today on the Amber May Show. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And if there's someone that came to mind, please share this episode with them. Please follow us on Telegram at the Amber May Show, True Social Amber May, Frank Socially Amber May, or Clout Hub. I can't wait to see you next time on the Amber May Show.